My guest at this time is Dr. Waleed Fares. He's a longtime expert on terrorism and Middle East studies. He is the author of numerous books, the most recent of which is The Lost Spring. He is now a foreign policy advisor to the Donald Trump campaign. He joins me today to respond to President Obama essentially mocking calls from Trump and others for the president to refer more specifically to our enemy, not only in the situation with the horrific terrorist attack in Orlando, but in general as radical Islam. And Dr. Fares, it's always good to have you with us. Thank you.
Thank you for having me today.
Let's listen to a little bit about what the president had to say today and get your response to it. Here again is President Obama talking about the calls from Donald Trump and others to describe our enemy with the term radical Islam.
The main contribution of some of my friends on the other side of the aisle have made in the fight against ISIL is to criticize this administration and me for not using the phrase radical Islam. That's the key, they tell us. We can't beat ISIL unless we call them radical Islamists. What exactly would using this label accomplish? What exactly would it change? Would it make ISIL less committed to trying to kill Americans? Would it bring in more allies? Is there a military strategy that is served by this? The answer is none of the above.
He went on for about 12 minutes, and we'll get to some of the other things he had to say in just a moment, Dr. Fares. But you have come on and spoken with me for years now about the importance of identifying the enemy and the ideology properly here. So what do you make of the president saying that doing so wouldn't do any good?
Well, let's ask the question during World War II. What would be the profit and the interest of calling the Nazis Nazis, or during the Cold War calling the Bolsheviks or the communists communists? This is number one goal when you are in a confrontation, is to identify for your allies, for your people, who are you fighting against, where is the enemy, what is this ideology, and also identifying for potential allies precisely and exactly against what the president has said. Let me give you three examples of why that would be important. Number one, we need our analysts, we need our experts within our own agencies to be able to make a distinction between those who are jihadists, call them Islamic radical extremists, and those who are not. If we don't have this capacity, if our analysts don't have this capacity, we're going to end up having a Major Hassan killing people in Fort Hood without us being able to detect him. We're going to have all these cases that we had. Of course, we're going to have the case of the bloodshed in California and, of course, now in Orlando. Number two, you need to educate your public. If the public doesn't know who the enemy is, what's the ideology, what are the narratives, what are the words, how will the citizens help you? How can they detect? How can they report if they see something, say something? What if that's something that they're going to see or hear about? Thirdly, as important, around the world. President Obama was talking about the world looking at us if we use these words. Precisely. The French use Islamists. The British do the same. The Russians have the same terminology. Even beyond that, in the Arab and Muslim world, my friend, what do you think they call these terrorists? They call them Islamists, Takfiri, jihadists, and all the names that clarifies exactly that there is a group within this Arab and Muslim world that if you do not identify, then you risk to blaming the entire community. It's just the opposite of what the president has said. If you do not find a way to identify the extremists with their ideology, what you are doing is basically running the risk that your public would realize that there is a large Arab Muslim world and therefore there is no way to distinguish who's good, who's bad. So in my view, I think the president has made the arguments just opposed of what we should be doing to win that war against the terrorists.
So what do you make of him essentially turning that logic around? You just referred to it, the president saying that if we use this terminology, we risk alienating the entire Muslim community worldwide, and it effectively helps to feed the ISIS propaganda machine that this is a war of the West versus Islam.
That's exactly the platform of the Muslim Brotherhood. That's exactly what Muslim Brotherhood analysts and advisors are telling our government. I have met with the top spiritual figure of the Arab and Muslim world. If the president would like to give him a phone call, but of course the president is not interested in speaking to Arab and Muslim leaders who sees otherwise. That would be the Grand Imam of Cairo, the equivalent of the Sunni Pope. And that was last year, after I met with President Sisi and many leaders in Egypt. And, of course, we always interact with the other leaders in the Arab world. What he told me when he was designating those extremists, he called them Islamists, Takfiris, Jihadists. So if that highest figure in the Arab and Muslim world and so many other figures do designate them with this, with these words, what is the president talking about?
What did you make of his specifically calling out Donald Trump, not only for Trump's insistence on using radical Islam, but also suggesting that Trump's call for a temporary ban on Muslim immigration was a way of alienating the entire Muslim community?
The reason for why Mr. Trump has initially called on a suggestion to put a ban was precisely because the Obama administration has been, since 2009, refusing to identify the only measurement our agencies would have to be able to make that distinction. It is almost funny that the president is criticizing Mr. Trump because Mr. Trump is saying the administration is not allowing us, is not allowing its own people. So Mr. Trump now is refining day after day, week after week, the system under which, when he will be elected as president, he will have to reform all these infrastructure. He spoke yesterday mentioning that now he wants to focus on those countries where there is a jihadi control and making sure we're not allowing these jihadists to come into the United States. Trump is making efforts to protect the American public, and he's only a candidate. And the president, who has all the power, is denying the fact that an ideology exists and that in order to get allies, you're going to offer them a vision that would make a distinction between those who are extremists and those who are not.
Dr. Ferris, you were making a point, and I think you left us wanting a little bit more on the point. You said that President Obama stopped his own people from essentially, I think you meant screening who is coming into the country. Explain what you mean by him stopping his own people from doing their jobs effectively.
For the last 15 to 16 years, I have been lecturing to, engaging, educating members of agencies under the two previous administrations. And I realized that our analysts, at least since 2009, have been denied the perception that there is an ideology. They cannot use these words. They cannot basically use the information about that specific jihadi ideology precisely because of what Mr. President has said today. And therefore, we are missing the opportunity to detect a manifestation of that ideology which would allow us to stop the terrorists before they act. So actually, the president's statement is counterproductive to our counterintelligence activity.
Amazing. Dr. Ferris, what do you expect from here? Hillary Clinton is obviously going after Mr. Trump as well. How do you expect this issue to be crystallized between now and the time when people vote?
Well, I don't think that the administration or President Obama will change course. They're not going to do at the eighth year what they have rejected in doing over the past, you know, almost more than half a decade. But with regard to Secretary Clinton, she made a little narrative change. She said, I will accept to call it, extreme jihadis. But even that, she is not actually explaining what it is. I do believe that the American public and voters are going to see clearer and clearer. And unfortunately, because of the bloodshed that occurred in Orlando and, God forbid, other attacks would occur. But the public is seeing that you have a choice in November between one camp that is in denial with regard to the existence of an ideology and another camp represented by Mr. Trump, who is trying very hard, though he's only a candidate, he doesn't have the briefings of government, but at least he has an expertise, a private sector expertise, and former people in government who are presenting him with what should be done, and therefore voters will have a clear choice in November.
And you're one of those folks helping him along from the private sector. Dr. Ferris, thanks very much for being with us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Greg.
Dr. Waleed Ferris is an expert on terrorism and Middle East studies. He is the author of several books. The most recent is The Lost Spring. He's now a foreign policy advisor to presumptive Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.